And now for something completely different. Welcome to the Cherryleaf podcast. This one is in a different format from our previous podcasts. It's outside, so apologies if you can hear parakeets and aeroplanes and trains and the wind, but it's a lovely summer's morning. And in this episode, what we're going to do is provide some links to information that we've discussed on our blog and presentations that we've seen from people at different conferences. It's a format that we've copied from the Gregarious Mammal podcast, a way of just looking at it, useful information that's come up in recent times. And by doing this, what we'd like to do is flesh out or expand a little bit more on some of the topics that we've covered on the Cherryleaf blog and in the Cherryleaf newsletter and elsewhere on Twitter and so forth. I hope you enjoy it. So let's start by looking at something we posted on API documentation. So APIs are a way of two applications talking to each other. REST APIs are very popular at the moment. And one of the most common ways of creating these APIs is to use something called an API specification. And there's something called the Open API, which was previously known as Swagger. And you can define what your API does, what information can be exchanged, where the hooks are to access that information, and what the tools such as Swagger UI enable developers to do is to define their API, push a button, and then get code that they can then slot into their program to enable those access points, enable that, create that API within their application. And another handy thing that they do is also automatically generate reference documentation, provide information on those resources, those endpoints, what's allowable, what's not allowable within them. And so for a lot of API documentation, what you see is this content that's been generated automatically, and it has often a very similar look and feel. And that obviously saves a lot of time, avoids rework and manual activities that can be avoided. However, if you're going to provide API documentation, there's other questions that the users will have. They will need tutorials. They'll want to know why they should be using it. They'd like the big picture. In particular, they'd like to know how to get the authorization keys, the access keys, to be able to get to a site and try it out. And that information is missing from the content that's generated automatically in most cases. So you have this content that's referenced, and you have this extra information that users need. And often, it's a situation where the automatically generated content has one look and feel, a certain navigation structure, a certain set of colours, and the other documentation has a completely different look and feel. That other documentation may have navigation menus and bars that are consistent with the corporate website, but the reference documentation doesn't. So for the end user, it can look like they're having to jump between two different books to get the answers to their questions. So in an ideal world, it would be great to combine the two so that it looked like one single unified website. And that's what some organisations have looked to do. For example, the gov.uk website and the Government Digital Services team, GDS, have set up templates for their API documentation for gov.uk pay and gov.uk notify that's consistent across all of that type of information. But they, like many other people, have ended up building a bespoke solution, something that's maybe got code that's in there that's unique to them, not from an off-the-shelf application. And doing that can have downsides and limitations in terms of maintenance and technical debt into the future. So what we wanted to do was look at, could we use standard off-the-shelf authoring tools that are used for normally generating this tutorial information, this overview information, troubleshooting information, such as Madcap Flare or RoboHelp, and bring in this automatically generated reference documentation and have it in a way that it's got this consistent look and feel, and also there's an automated tool chain. So that if the API specification changes, the reference documentation can get updated automatically, and that can be incorporated into the other information. So we've been doing some tests on this, primarily using Madcap Flare, of seeing if we can bring in this information from an API specification, either in JSON format or RAML format, and bring it into a help authoring tool and be able to push the button and get that consistent look and feel, that top navigation that links to the other information. And so we've posted some examples and screenshots of what we've done so far on it. And to answer the question, can it be done? It can. There are a couple of issues, a little bit of tweaking that needs to still go on. Bringing it into a completely empty project works fine, and then adding the navigation, all the other information that way, that works. If you take the standard templates of a knowledge base, which has got a pre-populated set of topics and a defined look and feel, then there's some tweaking that's needed to be done to the CSS. And there's also some challenges with mixed modes between HTTP and HTTPS that need to be fixed. And when we get some spare time again, we're going to investigate that side of things a little bit better. Another aspect is that developers may well contribute information, and often their preference is to write the content in a text editor, and they often have a strong preference to using Markdown. So another thing we looked at was ways to incorporate content that's been written in Markdown files into a project, into a Flare project. And could that be done? And again, the answer to that is yes, there's a plugin that can do that. The only issue with that is that it is a one-way conversion. It doesn't automatically update if the developer changes any of the content. There is a workaround for doing that, which can be done if that's important. We also looked at recently whether this could be done with RoboHelp as well. It will import the content in the same way as Flare can. Again, there's some issues over mixed modes and style sheets that needs to be fixed. But in theory, if you're an Adobe shop and you wanted to use RoboHelp, then that should be possible as well. You'll find details on what we've done so far on the Cherryleaf blog, and we'll put some notes, links to those pages in the notes for this particular episode. We've also got a salary survey running on our website at the moment. That will end at the end of July, and we'll be publishing findings from that survey in August. This is for technical authors, technical communicators based in Europe, so the UK and countries like Germany and Poland and so forth. So we'll see what interesting results we get from there. We're also asking questions around people's age, their gender, their education, and their levels of seniority. So one of the things we want to do is to see if there's a correlation between how much people earn and those types of factors. And you'll find, when we publish this information, again, you'll find that information on the Cherryleaf blog. Another topic we looked at on the blog was the return on investment from user documentation. Now, it has been very tricky, always been very tricky, to quantify the return on user documentation. How do you measure the effectiveness of what it's doing? Some of it is intangible, the perceived quality or value of the product. It's very hard to measure what impact user documentation has on the sales and marketing process. You can get some indication by the amount of hits that go on your page to get some indication. But the main reason, the main way in which people justify spending money on user documentation is on avoiding support calls, deflecting calls to the support line, and having to pay for a large technical support team. So we put together a spreadsheet for calculating the return on investment for reducing support calls. And you can email us, info@cherryleaf.com, and we can send you that spreadsheet. So what did we look at? We looked at the cost of writing online help, the lifetime of that help, so how long is that out there and relevant, so that we could come up with a cost per annum. And we looked at the cost of support and did that on the basis of the cost per day of one support person and how many calls they might answer in a particular day to come up with an average or a typical cost per support call. And then you can effectively divide one by the other to see how many support calls you need to avoid to end up saving money as a result of having user documentation. And using typical figures for a medium-sized, small to medium-sized help file, and typical figures for the cost of a support person in the UK, what we found was that you would need to avoid 3 support calls per week to break even. Over a year, it's 160 calls, or the equivalent of 4 support person days in that year. But as I said, there are additional benefits to having documentation to help with the marketing and pre-sales process, as well as the post-sale support side of things. If you go to our website, you can look at the graph and the information on this analysis, and if you contact us, we'll send you that spreadsheet. Other things to mention, we have been looking to arrange some interviews with some people involved in some interesting projects around technical communication. They're taking a little bit longer than we hoped to get finalised and organised, but look out for future podcast episodes which are of an interview size. One of the goals of this podcast was to interview various people involved in technical communication in and around Europe, and that is still our intention. It does take longer than we anticipated to arrange these interviews, but we do have 2 penciled in. Hopefully they'll be coming up in the next few weeks, so watch out for those. We originally intended that this podcast would be a monthly event, however it's turned out that there's been content sufficient for it to run weekly. As we move into summer more, what we'll do is probably take the opportunity at that point to switch to a monthly format. And I should also mention the Cherry Leaf newsletter, which is also monthly. This is a free newsletter. What we do is we send it out to thousands of people. It contains useful information on technical communication, information that can help you in your career as a technical communicator. It's more than just information about Cherry Leaf. It's around other information, other sources, other websites, other presentations that we hope will help you in your career, provide useful information, tools and tips. If you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, if you go to the Cherry Leaf website and look under the resources section, you'll see a form and you can subscribe. One interesting presentation that I saw recently was by Daniela Proceda. And that was at the API the Docs One Day conference in London.
Okay, so there are these principles which have the status of secrets in that nobody seems to know what they are. And my promise is that if you can put these secret principles into practice, if you can learn to use them, it will make your documentation better, and that will make your project or your product or your team more successful. So here's the secret, that there is not just one thing called documentation. There are 4 things that are documentation, and they represent 4 different purposes or functions. And here they are: tutorials, how-to guides, reference, and discussions. And what I'm arguing is that documentation needs to include and to be explicitly structured around these 4 different functions, each of which requires a distinct mode of writing. And people working with software need each of these 4 different kinds of documentation at different times, in different circumstances, and they're all usually necessary in your documentation. What's more, they must all be kept separate and distinct from each other. Keeping them entirely separate is key to creating successful documentation and making it easy to maintain. This structure makes it obvious to both the author and the reader what information goes where. It tells the author how to write and what to write and where to write it. It saves the author from wasting a great deal of time trying to work out where to put things, trying to work out how to wrestle the information into a shape that makes sense. Because here we have a structure in which each part of the quadrant has one and only one very clear job.
And in the show notes, what we'll do is we'll provide a link to a video of Daniela presenting on this at a different conference. One issue that came up in the Q&A after his presentation related to the bottom quadrant, the quadrant about discussion and explanations. And a number of people had issues with this. There was discussion as to whether that was something slightly different, whether in that explanatory area you would have pathfinder topics, conceptual topics, worked examples, information that provided the big picture, that was more relevant. Daniela's ideas come from his personal experience. And it does have similarities with some of the research that's been carried out in technical documentation, but with some differences as well. The most common research that's applied to technical communication and theories is minimalism. This was developed by John Carroll at IBM, and John Carroll wrote a number of books on this. Minimalism is not about just writing as little text as possible. It's a theory about what users want from information, how they go and search for it, whether they want to learn or just do issues around that. And it was interesting to compare and contrast how Daniela had gone on a similar journey, but with some areas there were differences. So we'll include a link to one of the presentations Daniela has made on this topic for you to look at and watch. Other information you might be interested in, we've got some stickers, laptop stickers being printed that explain what technical communication is, what technical communicators do, and they'll be printed and we'll be able to send them out to anyone who wants them from early August onwards, maybe the end of July as well. If you contact info@cherryleaf.com, if you'd like one of those stickers, then do contact us. Again, we'll provide a link in the show notes so you can see what they are. And we're also involved with the Institute of Scientific and Technical Communicators, and they're also getting some laptop stickers printed, some fun ones printed as well, along themes around the Oxford comma and using the active voice. They'll be available at their conference, TCUK, Technical Communication UK, which is coming up in Nottingham in September. If you go to the technicalcommunicationuk.com website, you'll see the speakers and the dates for that event. I'll be speaking at that event. And also the TCUK has a book that's being published in July, which is Trends on Technical Communication. I understand there are 32 chapters in this book, 320 pages, 32 different authors involved in looking at the trends in technical communication, the future of technical communication. I've written one of the chapters in the book, and I understand that book will be around £24 to purchase. We've also got some new training courses that have been released and more training courses on the way. We have a new classroom course and our online courses, Write Lessons. We've added more courses in that area. We also hope to introduce a classroom course for Madcap Flair. And in development at the moment is a training course on how to write reports. In recent months, we've also developed a course, Writing Skills for Developers. So if you know developers that want to improve, who are involved with writing technical documentation and need to improve their skills, then this online course could be relevant to them. So that's it for this episode. Hope that information is of interest and is useful to you. Do look at the show notes, cherryleaf.podbean.com, and Podbean is P-O-D-B-E-A-N, N for November. The next episode will be completely different, and the episode after that will also be completely different, albeit within the area to do with technical communication. Thank you for listening.